Okay. You know, the first question I had was, what were your thoughts about pro football when you were coming out of college? Was being a pro football player a goal of yours? Is it something you were thinking about at the time? And talk about the process you went through getting into professional football.
Well, when I came out of Jackson, I wasn't drafted. Nothing, mm-hmm. you know. And Al Locasell, mm-hmm. Chargers scout. I used to go all over, you know. And he was in Jackson, and he was scouting Willie Richardson. And Willie Richardson was an All-American at Jackson. I got hurt my junior year and didn't play any my senior year. My knee was hurt, and I had to recoup from that. But we were up on campus, walking around, and Al Locasell was on campus, and he was interviewing Willie Richardson. Told him, if you want a ball player, you better sign him. You better sign Speedy Dunger, because he can play. Mm-hmm. And Al came back the next day and signed me to a contract. I was a free agent, and free agent means you're not drafted. You ain't got nothing coming to you, buddy. They had four teams in training camp, and then they had two extra guys on the fifth team, and I was on the fifth team, one of the extra guys. But see, there's no substitute for talent mm-hmm. when you hit the field, you know. And I went all the way up to that and to making the team. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really one of my greatest attributes that I look back over now, and I think about, man, you ain't even supposed to finish training camp. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be around. But I think the thing that got me over the hump was when it came time for them to pick teams and stuff, you know, preseason, you know, everybody get their little shot. And then they mess around and put me back there on punt returns, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the first one I put my hand on, I set it down 60-some yards away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I could run those punts back. I don't know. It was just a blessing, I guess. I wasn't like a typical punt returner, belly out and running to the, trying to get some wall, and it breaks down, and they pop. No, I caught the ball. I went straight at the opponents, you know, challenged them, straight at them, you know, because I was very shifty, you know. Mm-hmm. And Sid McGilliam back during that time, I can hear him right now. Put that little fella back there. Let me see what he can do. But he was good people, man. He was good people. He was tough, but he was good people. He knew his football, and he knew talent. And I was on the fifth team, and Chuck Noll was the defensive backfield coach with Sid Gilman, and Sid was head coach, and they moved me up the ladder, man. One step at a time up the ladder, you know. But the whole thing about football is anybody, if you got any talent, it's going to come out. It's going to show. That's why I'm saying now, when you watch paying all that money, and those guys, God bless them, because they didn't pay us nothing. But you can't judge a guy's talent until he hits the field. Under the actual game conditions, you know. You can't judge his condition or how he played this or how he did. Everybody just ain't no ball players, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of them got big publicity in the whole stuff, because Because I think I played with one of the best linebackers that ever lived. You know, he's dead now. He's my best friend, Frank Buncombe. Mm-hmm. He was one of the best linebackers I've ever seen. He could read it. He knew when to come in. He played on the right side with me. I played right corner. And Frank would holler, coming out, Les. Well, that meant he was taking away the out on that particular pass play, so I knew to free up and be strong to the inside. But he was a good guy, man. Mm-hmm. He was a good guy. He was, he got traded to Cincinnati Bengals, and he went to training camp, and he got sick in training camp and died the next day. Mm-hmm. He was good people, man. Mm-hmm. But no, those are good days, man. I'd look back at those stuff. I'd think about it. Every day I said, you know, you've been privileged and you've been blessed that you've had the opportunity to play with people that was as good and made you a better ball player, and you've been fortunate. Because when you think about, think about Chuck Noll, Tom Bass, Bum Phillips, Walt Hackett, all of them, and all of them ended up coaching themselves, individual coaching and the team. That, you know, Chuck Knowles was unbelievable with the Pittsburgh. He just passed away too.
Yeah,
and then we just lost Bum Phillips too. Mm-hmm. But good coach, man, good coach. And you, it's funny how you look at other teams. It shouldn't be that hard to judge good talent, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that hard. I mean, I never did do it, but I should have been a scout. You know, unfortunately, I'm just the type of person, I wasn't going to be trying to run nobody down for anything. But, you know, black scouts weren't in the game that much. There was one or two of them in the game at that time. But judging talent is something that you can see something special in the guy. Everybody can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But any other question you want to ask me, go ahead.
Okay. Talk about your first year with the Chargers. It took you a little while to you know, break in and you know, get regular playing time. You know, you became a starter pretty much your second year with the team.
Mm-hmm.
What was that process like? You know, you talk about, you know, them learning about you, your punt return ability, not knowing that ahead of time and figuring that out. And you know, what were those first couple of years like?
Well, the first year with the Chargers, I wouldn't have made the team if I hadn't gotten hurt.
If you hadn't gotten hurt?
Yeah, see, I got my jaw broke,
mm-hmm.
and they had to wind me up. So Sid told me, little fella, I'm going to put you on taxi squad. He put me on taxi squad, and then when my jaw healed up and they pulled the braces off and all that stuff, I practiced every day. I did all the things you're supposed to do, and then eventually he called me into the office. He said, little fella, I'm going to give you a shot. I'm going to bring you up. I'm going to bring you up and let you return punts and kickoffs, you know. And then he brought me up, and I was returning punts and kickoffs. And I think the first punt I put my hand on, I put it downfield about 60 yards. And I would run those kickoffs back, too. And then I was on the same side as Westmoreland. Westmoreland and I were best friends the whole. And in the expansion draft, they sent Westmoreland to Miami, and moved me over to right corner. Chuck Noll moved me over there, and I used to love to play that right corner. And I was a very good corner because I was confident. I just couldn't beat that. I was taught by Joe Gilliam in college at Jackson State. And Joe Gilliam, he was a good defensive coach. And he taught me bump and run. Mm-hmm. And I had quick feet, and I was real thing. I come up and get in your face, and you just couldn't get away from me on one-and-one coverage. It's good for one-and-one. It ain't good for no zones or nothing. But Joe Gilliam taught me that. And in the pros, they used to laugh at me and say, you going to get burned every time you get up there. You just couldn't run off and leave me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was quick, and I could run the 40. I could slide, you know. And I thought that's the best way to cover somebody. Don't give them no room. Because, I mean, like, today I'm so glad I'm not playing. Because if I played now, everybody's spot passing, putting the ball in the air. And, mm-hmm. you know, I used to hate that. Especially down on goal line when they wouldn't run their patterns. They just throw it up and let the guy go up and get him. You trying to cover him, and your back's turned to him. That's hard coverage there, man. That I admire the guys that can do it today now and the way they do it, some of them, you know. But you ask me, that's the toughest coverage of all times, you know. You cover a guy with your back to the quarterback, and he can just throw it up or throw it here or whatever, and then you don't get caught up for pass interference. So. Mm-hmm. But, and now, you know, we had a little leeway. If we could put your hands on them, you can't touch them now.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Back during that time, up to 5 yards, I'd beat your brains out. But now they just throw it up, you touch the guy, mm-hmm. pass interference. I don't know why they made that change like they did, but I know they made it an offensive game. Mm-hmm. And defensive backs, they don't pay them enough. They really don't pay them enough because, I mean, their job is to come up on the guy and get up there in his face and then figure out where he's going. And they just, everything now is spot passing. And ain't about nothing else. You just, I'm going to throw it here, you get that. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to hate that. I used to hate it when I played. Five passing and how can you defend that? But, you know, if you get anything thrown at you enough, you're going to either learn how to do it or they're going to ship you out, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Who were some of the receivers that you played against that impressed you the most?
The one I played against that impressed me was most, and I played against him in college also, was Otis Taylor, Kansas City. Don Maynard, the Jets, George Sauer. Mm-hmm. Man, when you hooked up against them. But, you know, it's a funny thing about football. The bigger the challenge, the higher you rise. Mm-hmm. The more you can get up for an event, you know. I used to love to hook up with Art Powell for Oakland, you know. Art came out, you know, he went to high school here in San Diego.
Right.
I used to love to hook up with him. Because Art bought out the best in me.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, I used to tell me all the time, that's really like, bring your lunch. bring your lunch, because it's going to be all day. He's good people, though, man. Good people. I respected him. You know, I really respected Art. He, until his day, he's good people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he used to kill me with that brain lunch. It could be an all-day job.
Yeah.
It'll be all day. Yeah.
You started to really make an impact on the AFL in your your second season, which was your first full season, you know, made your first All-Star game that year. Talk about what it's like to all of a sudden become, you were a huge hit in San Diego, and even nationally. I mean, that must have been a big shock to you, just going from a player who was just fighting to make a team to all of a sudden everybody knows who Speedy Duncan is.
Well, I you never look at it that way. I never thought about it any way of what people thought about me or whatever. I felt like I always, you know how you can feel like you're the best at something? When it came to punt returning, I didn't think anybody could hold my job, you know. I just thought that I was the best. You kick it to me, you're going to pay. You punt it to me, you're going to pay. And I mean, until I told my growing up, I mean, I had 40 stitches in the groin. I got my groin torn up, and it was like I had to fight myself all the way back. But when I first came up, I used to, their punters to kick me the ball. They kick the ball away, kick it away, you know. They kick it away over here, do, but they didn't want to punt the ball to me. I had the best man in the world back there with me, Kenny Graham, my safety. Kenny would just tell me, let's go. You take it, let's go. He wasn't there. You know, like usually when you put two deep, one's always trying to get over this one over here. Kenny didn't want the ball. He never wanted the ball. He wanted to tear somebody's head up coming down at me, you know. That was my partner, man. And he, you know, that's the kind of range that he had. I don't want it. I don't care where he can kick it. If you can get it, you get it. You just yell, let me know, okay? And if something was to be fair caught or something, he can't fair catch it. But he was my lifeline, man. Mm-hmm. I think nowadays, you know, they just put one person back there now. Yeah, that's good. But back during the day, I mean, it's pretty tough when they got everybody and their mama coming down there to take your head off. And you got to catch it. You got to look up, locate it, and catch it, and then know whether to take off with it, you know. I think one of the biggest things for my success was I used to catch on an average of 75 punts a day in practice. I had to catch it. And I got so good, I don't care where you kick it, I can go get it, you know. But I think practice makes perfect. The more you practice something, you know, like, you don't question your ability or whatever when it's time to perform. And with me, I mean, I could tell you when it came off the kicker's foot whether I could bring it back or not, you know. I knew when to fair catch it. And I knew when you couldn't do nothing with it, you know. So, yeah, those were great days.
Yeah. Did you... You had two real, you know, strong aspects to your game, the defensive back portion and the kick returning. Did you have a preference?
Well, the only thing I disliked about the starting job of defense, well, I had to cover. And guy going deep on you, they run three straight ups on you, go deep. And then it's fourth down, they got to punt the ball, and I got to drop back and return it. Most of the time, I was too tired to bring it back. I let a lot of them, you know, I still caught a whole lot of balls that I should have been returning. I'm too tired. Just, you know, it's tough when a guy run pass patterns on you, and especially when they have one or two, like three series, Mm-hmm. They moving, mm-hmm. you know. And then you got to play defense, and then it's time to punt, you know. And during that time, it wasn't no such thing. Sid Gilmer wasn't bringing you out or nothing else, you know. Mm-hmm. Come out and get some, I used to tell Frank Buncombe was our defensive, you know, he called signals and stuff on defense. I used to tell Buncombe, call timeout. Let's take a breather, you know. I mean, I'd be so tired, man, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, because it was very rare that they sent somebody in for you.
Right.
Yeah, it was rare because, I mean, they just didn't want to take the chance, you know. Like, mm-hmm. And I must say that it made me a better ball player, but I can admit that now. Sometimes I would be so tired, I wouldn't even return it.
Yeah.
I just throw my hand up and fair catch it. And they, why didn't you bring that one back? People understand, you know, they're looking forward to fourth down until uh-huh. I get my hand on it, you know. But when I just became returning punts, I mean, man, that's a great day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you, I can remember those days where some of my, I stepped back. And psychologically had a lot to do with it too, because I mean, I had so much success in returning punts until when I drop back on fourth down, I tell myself, you better not kick it. I'm the baddest son of a gun mm-hmm. ever back up to catch one. You kick it, I'm going to run it down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd psych myself off, up on that, you know. You kick it to me, buddy, it's coming back. Get ready to make the tackle. Come on, be right down there next to you. Uh-huh. So those were great times to remember, you know.
Uh-huh.
That's why I say now, I mean, I've never seen, you know, they just got a lot of guys in the pros that run back punts that shifted,
mm-hmm.
that can move. You got to be able to move, and your first two or three steps is going to determine whether you attack. You know, I'm coming at you. You coming to make your tackle, but I mean, you got to be able to. Ain't no guy can break down and make tackles. Now, there's some that can do that, you know. But very few can break down like that and make a tackle. I'm coming at you and I know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And I can move, yeah. That's how I always tried to attack it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Attack the cover people that's coming down. Don't let them get the advantage. You take it away, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard you refer to several of your opponents as good people. The AFL was interesting that there was a real camaraderie among the players, even of different teams, because you were all trying to make sure that the league survived.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the relationships that you guys had. I mean, obviously, you tried to beat the heck out of each other on the field.
Yeah, I had a lot of good friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Otis Taylor, Art Powell. We hung out together.
Mm-hmm.
We hung out. And you going to play them? You play them on Sunday? That's all. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, there's no such thing. Buddy, I'm coming to get your cake on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ain't no special privileges here, you know. Mm-hmm. People like Art Powell, good friends, man. Good friends. And ain't spare me no mercy. I mean, I'd buckle up.
Uh-huh.
Buckle up. I'm buckle up. You ready? Mm-hmm. And I could run them pass balance, you know. Like, I used to hate Art Powell with put a passion, put on pass pattern. Because he was a firm believer in running his pattern.
Uh-huh.
You know. And you that's why I played bump and run on most of the time on cover ones. You know, that's man cover.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I played bump and run, you know. Zone, that's different. I didn't like zones because zones allow people, you got to sit back here 12, 13 yards and let him do what he want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Run his pattern like, you got to be counting very seriously on people taking care of their job and doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Linebackers got to get out and get to them coverages, the turn-ins and the outs, and you taking them deep. But linebackers, you know, sometimes you lose a lot of faith. Because linebackers have bad days too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they can't get out there and do that. And I just hated zone coverage. I always loved individual coverages. I always loved that. I mean, you can place the blame on who it belongs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can blame me. He catch it, shut him. And I didn't believe in letting him catch it when we were in man coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But you had the middle linebacker that made the calls, and he calling what they sent in from the sideline, you know. And a lot of times we weren't on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I didn't want that old zone stuff, man. Key downs, I want to shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and but I really, really enjoyed the guys that I played with back during that time. I really mm-hmm. enjoyed.
You've been out of the game about 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you miss the most of it?
Well, I really don't miss nothing. But when I look back at it, and I to be honest with you, I miss the punt returning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way guys approach the punt returning. You know, if I could say something to them, I'd tell them, man, stop looking and ripping, catch the ball and hit upfield. Don't be trying to belly.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's what they be taught, you know. Belly back, no. Catch it and go right at him. Challenge the people that's coming down. Challenge them. Don't let them make you do something. I mean, you cannot tackle me coming straight downfield, flying 100 miles an hour, and you don't get there and break down.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. I ain't gonna let you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I basically had a lot of my success. That's what I would tell them. You know, catch the ball, go upfield, challenge. Don't sit back here and start bailing out, trying to get to a wall for what? something go break down in that wall.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't gonna let you get over there, you know. They're not gonna. I used to hate that too. The moment it was called, I said, change it, nope, change it, change it, nope. From return, right, going right, boom, nope, from return, just, you block and let me take it up here. Yeah, I used to do that all the time, but I had good people back there with me. I heard you talking, you know, like Jeff Queen.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good friend and still is. Jeff was outrageous on kick returns and
yeah.
stuff. Ooh, blocking. Oh, Jeff could do it, you know. I had a lot of respect for him. I know he's real sick now. Jeff Queen was one of my best partners.
Hmm.
I'm glad you said that, because I'm going to, if he's in a rest home, whatever, I'm going to see him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go see him.
Well, that wraps up my questions. Let me get out some of these cards, and then we'll do this part.
Okay, no problem.